Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to another episode of PSINYS, Paranormal Talk Radio. I'm your host, Patrick, and tonight we're going to be live with our guest, Laura Barkley, and Laura will be telling us a bit about her abilities and her experiences in the paranormal. So call-ins are welcome. Our call-in number is 914-205-5355. Again, the call-in number is 914-205-5355. If you would like to talk to Laura while she's here on the show, if you have any questions or if you have any paranormal experiences of your own that you'd like to talk about. So again, we're live tonight, a little earlier than usual, but we're here. And if you go to our website, www.psinys.com, you'll find a little bit about what we do. You'll also find some of the past shows that we've done at the front of the page. I just uploaded them. So... in a few moments, we will we'll have Laura on the show, and we can get started. Again, our call-in number is 914-205-5355. So if you want to call in and talk with us, feel free. I'm going to go to a little break here, and when I return... we will have Laura online and on the phone here, or on the radio here with us.
Thank you.
Okay, we're back live, PSINYS, Paranormal Talk Radio Show, and we're going to have our guest tonight, Laura Barkley. She should be calling us any second now, and here she is.
Patrick.
Hello, good evening.
Hi, this is Lori North Berkeley, and
yes.
Thank you for inviting me to speak on your show.
Oh, thank you for speaking with us. Lori, could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I'm no kid. I'm 58 years old, and I've had a lot of what I would call spiritual, psychic experiences since I was probably around 10 years old. And I have to say that my abilities since I've gotten older have decreased a little bit, but I still have some experiences. And I've had some very interesting and cool, fascinating things that have happened to me. And I even have some witnesses to experiences. I'm also an identical twin, and my identical twin has had similar experiences, but we don't have the same gifts.
Hmm. When did you first notice that you had this gift?
I first became aware that something was different when I was about 10 years old. We lived in a house in Glenmont, New York, and with my sister, my brother, and my parents, and very odd things would happen in this house. And my mother and father, never wanting to acknowledge or scare us, would always blame it on the wind. But it wasn't until after we were much older, moved out of that house, that they admitted that even at times they were scared for things that happened in that house. And it wasn't anything evil. It was more mischief-making things.
Right.
And my first memory of a psychic encounter that I had was I was 10 years old, and my grandmother had passed away. And I was laying in my bed and just thinking about things. I mean, she hadn't just died, but she, it was a few months, and I was looking at my ceiling, and I saw my grandmother's face in the ceiling, and she said to me, "I will always look over you, and I will always protect you and love you." And then she just disappeared, and I didn't know to be afraid, because I had never had that experience before, and, you know, my grandmother was not someone that I was afraid of.
Right.
So, experiences in that house afterwards, we had a dog that was howling one night, and my sister and I woke up, and we let the dog in, and we went back to bed, and upon going back to bed, things started to happen that were very weird. We started to hear footsteps pounding up and down the attic stairs. And we heard things being shuffled around. We heard music playing, like old-fashioned, I don't know if it would be harpsichord kind of music, but laughing and like the sound of cafe doors opening and closing and swinging, and just a lot of commotion upstairs. And we hid under the covers, you know, naturally. And then very next morning, bright and early, we got up and we told our parents that we had heard these unusual experiences. And they said, "Well, we're going to go upstairs and show you that there's nothing to be afraid of." Well, everything that was at the top of the stairs that my parents had moved was pushed all the way to the other end of the attic. And they couldn't explain that, because there were some very heavy items up there, French doors and a box that a refrigerator had come in that was filled with winter clothing and items and just heavy things. And that was totally pushed to the other end of the house. Well, naturally, I had to go and tell everybody on the street what happened, and they probably thought I was nuts, but that was the start. Lights would go on and off in this house. Windows that had the lead weights in the windows, they would open and then slam close and open and slam close. And the doors would swing open and slam close. And that's the general idea of things that would happen in that house. And then when I got older, I started to have vivid experiences of identifying with ghosts, spiritual beings. I remember on one instance, it was probably 13 or 14, and it was winter time, and I had heard strange noises outside my bedroom window. And these are actual experiences that I had, you know. I'd like to tell people, if I was going to make things up, I could make things up all the time. But
right.
These are actual experiences, and it was very weird because my grandfather died when my mother was only 8 years old in 1943. So naturally, I had never met the man. I didn't know any of his friends. I didn't know anything about him. And it was winter one night. I was, like I said, about 13, 14, and I heard noises outside my bedroom window. And this was very freaky. I thought that my cousin who lived across the street and some friends were riding snowmobiles up and down the road. It was wintertime. And I looked out and I said, you know, geez, it must be nice. You know, they're out in the wee hours, you know, doing this. And when I opened up the window, I could feel the cold air on my face, and I could hear a train coming down our road. And we lived on a private dead-end street. And anyway, I heard this noise, and I heard somebody shouting, "Al, you know, everything is okay." And I could see this red light swinging, and there was conversation that I couldn't really hear clearly, but I could hear names being called. And I heard the name Benny, and I heard the name Al. Well, Al was my grandfather's name, and I found out that Benny was his brakeman. And my grandfather was an engineer on the New York Central Railroad. And I had told my mother this story, and she said, "How would you know that your grandfather had a friend named Benny that was a brakeman?" And I said, I heard it last night. I could sense it was outside the bedroom window. And, well, they kind of looked at me and just, you know, they never said anything, you know, to the contrary or to say I was nuts or anything, but that's what happened. And then I've had a lot of, telepathic experiences with my twin sister, and I've had precognitive dreams that I experienced very many of those, where I've even gone to the police and helped them with a case. And I never got all the particulars of this because they weren't willing to share, or they couldn't share, or whatever. But I did run into them about 3 weeks after I had a dream, and I had gone to them. And about 3 weeks after, I had run into one of the officers, and he told me, he said, "You know, you've got my crew kind of interested and baffled and wondering if you were there." And I said, I was not there. And they said the detailed information that I had provided them, only someone who was directly involved would know.
Right.
And so that was the start of something new and interesting. So I worked as an accountant for years, and one experience that I had when I was working was a friend of mine who I worked with, the family was killed tragically. And we were all naturally very concerned and wondering, you know, what happened and how our friend was, because she had to leave town immediately. And, you know, they knew that I was the closest friend to these people, so people would come and ask me, you know, "What do you know? You know, how are things going? Are there going to be services for this family?" And I said, you know, as soon as I hear anything, I'll share it. So I was sitting at my desk and was working on my computer doing some spreadsheets. And all this, you know, I had to run some invoices, so I was using my calculator, and I happened to be, I just stopped working, and I was overcome with grief, and thinking about, you know, my poor friend and losing her family and the circumstances and everything. And I told myself, "Laura, you got to stop. You have to, you know, you got to stop dwelling on this, because you're just becoming too maudlin, you know." So all
right.
of a sudden, I had this picture in my head of this little boy, and I could see his hair color, and he was playing soccer, and he had this outfit on, and he was running around and just having a good time. And I was thinking, you know, who is this? Well, he, you know, I learned his name, and I was just thinking, my God, how terribly sad to be so young and to die tragically and with your mother and father. And just I was thinking, you know, all these sad thoughts. And all of a sudden, I look at my computer, and there's a card game being played on my computer. And I motioned to my boss, and I said, you know, would you turn around? And I said, take notice of where my hands are. And I said, I want you to explain to me how this game is being played on my computer. And all of a sudden, I felt in my left arm being poked. I heard this little boy laughing and poking me, saying, ha ha, I got you, ha ha, I got you. And then all of a sudden, it ended, you know. And I just thought, well, that was pretty crazy. Well, about 2 weeks after, my friend returned to work, and he knows that I have had many dreams and experiences and things, and I'm very open to talking with other people about their experiences. And I said, you know, I have to tell you something. I said, I'm not telling you this to make you upset. I said, I would never do that, but I have to tell you an experience I had. So I just recanted him the story I just shared with you. And he got tears in his eyes, and he started crying. And I said, see, I told you I shouldn't have said anything. I'm sorry I upset you. And he says, no, you have no idea what you did just tell me. And he said, you just kind of proved to me that there is life after death. He said, that was my nephew you were talking about. And the very last, before we parted company on our last visit together, he was playing cards with my daughter. They were playing a game of war, and he was poking her in the arm saying, ha ha, I got you, because he won. And he was poking her saying, ha ha, I got you. Well, when I went to the funeral, they had photographs of all the people. And the photograph, the first photograph I saw was of this little boy, and it was the same photograph I had seen in my mind with the color of his soccer uniform that he had on and his hair color. Now, I had never met this kid. I didn't know anything about him, you know. So that was very weird. I've had experiences where I moved into a farmhouse, and I always kidded. I always kidded with my husband about, you know, that every time I would go to the hairdresser, you know, it would take 3 or 4 days for him to say, hey, I like your hair. So I came home one night, and I was smiling, and I couldn't wait to get out of the car, because here's this man waiting for me on the side of the driveway underneath a tree. And I thought, you know, this is kind of odd, you know, for him to be walking the dog, you know, with no coat on, and it's wintertime. And I got out of the van, I walked in front, and I walked over to this guy, and I thought, you know, hey, you know, you're finally learning, you know, you're not waiting 3 or 4 days for me, you know, to acknowledge my haircut. You're right out front waiting for me to come home. And this man was standing under the tree, and he had on a black, a dark gray, dark black plaid shirt on, a beard, young kind of guy, nice looking. He resembled my husband very much. I thought it was him until I realized he had no legs from the knees down. And he looked at me, smiled, and disappeared. And I told my husband that story, and he says, you know, he goes, I'm the one that has to be out in the barn late at night. I would just assume that you kept your stories to yourself. And I said, you know, if there's going to be somebody in the barn, you have to know, you know, so that you're not scared. And till this day, that was, 10 years ago, and till this day, every time I go to walk in the barn, I always say, you know, we can all live here together. I just don't want you to jump out and do that boo thing to me, because I don't like to be startled. I don't mind you being here, but I don't want to be startled. Now, my sister came to the house. This was in 2008. My sister came to the house, and she thought that my husband was in the living room looking out the window. And when she got closer to the house, she noticed that my husband was underneath the truck, working on the truck. And she told me, she says, Laura, I got something to tell you. And I said, what's that? And she said, I'm driving down your driveway, and I thought I saw your husband peeking out the window. And he had a beard, dark hair, and he had on this gray and dark, big plaid shirt. And I thought it was your husband. And I realized he's under the truck working on it. So who did I see? And I said, that sounds like the same guy that I described being underneath the tree, you know, that night. My other experiences have been, you know, I've had dreams that have come true, and unfortunately, most of my dreams are not what I call good dreams. I think somebody explained to me one time that there's more energy in negativity. so that it's easier to have a negative dream. And I'm sorry, when I get talking, I like to express my my experiences, and I'm very passionate about what has happened to me. So,
yeah, no, that's good.
If I
you
need
keep
to take
going.
A breath for a question or whatever, I'm sorry, just let me know. But,
okay, no, you're doing good so far.
Okay, thank you. I had experiences, you know, where I got in the habit of telling people that I worked with, you know, hey, I had this dream last night. And a lot of times, more often than not, you know, either that course of the day or until the next day, you know, they'd look at me and they go, what the heck? Are you some kind of witch or something? How did you know that? Because I've dreamed names, I've dreamed incidences, I've dreamed accidents. There was an incident one time, and this, I felt a little foolish about this, but there was an incident, and I don't remember what year it was. I think it was in the 90s. I dreamed of a plane crash in a swampy area in Florida, and I dreamed that the airplane was on fire and it crashed. Well, I dreamed that the reason why it happened was because teenagers, you know, they like to travel. They're going to Florida on vacation, and, you know, kids always have to look their best, you know, when they're traveling. So, you know, they dry their hair, the hair dryer's hot, they throw it in their suitcase, suitcase starts on fire in cargo, you know, and I'm thinking this is what happened. But all I saw was fire, and it was a couple of days later that an airplane crashed in the swamp in the Florida, but it was oxygen tanks that were on board. Now, I'm not saying that I dreamed that specific event, but, you know, it was just too weird, and it bothered me because I was thinking, you know, could I have tuned in any better to try to prevent things? Because I've warned people about incidences. A friend of mine was a police officer and did mounted police, and they were working a concert in Albany. And I warned my girlfriend, I said, you have to tell your brother to be very careful because I dreamed that at this concert that there's a riot and people are going to egg his horse on to try and throw him and to try and hurt people. And she says, that's never happened. She's, you know, she mentioned her brother's name, and she says, he's a very experienced horseman, and you know, people generally like to see the mounted police because they like to pet the horses and be friendly or whatever. Well, the very next day, this fella was outside an arena with several other mounted police, and I don't know what incident occurred, but it was a Grateful Dead concert, and people were outside, and they started taunting the horse. And the horse got agitated and started rearing up, but her brother was keeping what she had told him in mind, and he was ready for that kind of trouble, I guess. So they thought, you know, that was kind of weird that, you know, that I had dreamed that a couple nights before it happened. I've dreamed of people dying in accidents. And then hearing, and, you know, I don't have the radio on when I'm sleeping. I don't have anything on. It wasn't in the evening news, but there was at least three or four incidences of where I woke up the next morning and I wrote down or told my parents, told people at work, you know, specific names and incidences and actual occurrences. And they looked at me as if to say, how did you know that? You know, and I said, I don't know how I know it. I just dreamed it. So the most recent experiences that I've been having, probably, you know, my decrease in my receptivity to paranormal events and spirits, et cetera, has decreased probably my age and not sleeping well, et cetera, and not getting the right rest. But only in the wintertime, and this is pretty cool, in the wintertime, I hear radio broadcasts, and it's they sound like muffled 1940s style newscasts, and I can almost make out. But I've, you know, many times when it first started, I would ask my husband. I said, "Did you leave the radio on in the bedroom, or did the alarm go off? The radio go off? There's something on?" I said, don't you hear that? And he said, no, I don't hear anything. And I said, yeah. I said, you have to be quiet and I have to concentrate and really try to pinpoint the location of the words that I'm hearing and just try to focus on what I'm hearing. And I can't. But I definitely hear this broadcast. Sometimes it goes into music, but most of the time it's speaking. So.
So you say it's an older broadcast, like 30s, 40s, something like that?
Yes. Yeah, definitely. Huh. And that's in the house that I'm currently living in. I've seen, everybody probably sees shadows, you know, but I've seen shadows in my home where it's only my husband and myself, and we don't live in a neighborhood where there's people walking by or, you know, people walking by the windows. So, my husband's not home, and I see
right.
a shadow in my house. And I don't feel frightened, but I just say, you know, we can live here in harmony, you know.
Right.
I know you're here. I know somebody's here. So it's it's not frightening at all. But just based on my experiences, a lot of people, they might be skeptic, and a lot of people might never experience a paranormal or spiritual psychic something because they're just not open to it, or because they're afraid, or because when it does happen, they don't want to admit it, acknowledge it, whatever. But, you know, I have several friends, and I've asked them, you know, have you ever had anything weird happen to you? And they say no. And I say, you know, you don't have to be afraid to admit it to me because I've told you everything that I've experienced. And, it's okay. You know, and they say, no, really, I haven't, you know. My brother had a very weird experience, and my brother is not the type to admit his feelings. Talk about his experiences, but when he was about 15 years old, he had an old-fashioned tape recorder, and I only just found out about this about 3 years ago because of Ghost Hunters show and different variations of ghost hunting type shows and how they do their EVPs and et cetera. And I've had experience with my PS. Group that I belong with, that we've done EVPs, and I can attest to the fact that there's nothing phony, made up, improvised, added, or whatever. Very interesting. But this was years ago. Before now, my brother's 53 years old, and this happened when he was about 15, and this was long before EVPs ever came into, as far as my knowledge is, before they came into experience. But he played, we didn't have a lot of money, and he used to record the Midnight Special and radio shows or songs on the radio. So they were doing the Top 40 Countdown, and he put his cassette tape on because he knew his favorite songs were coming on. Well, he left the cassette player running, and long after, he turned it off and turned the radio off, went to bed. Well, the next day he says, oh, I want to hear my songs that I taped. So he was playing the cassette tape recorder, and he heard a couple of his songs, and he just let it play, and he heard voices. Now, he was downstairs in the playroom. There's no television. This was the wee hours. We weren't up. This is a, very quiet house, and you could definitely hear people speaking. And it wasn't like an actual conversation taking place. It was words, simple words being spoken, almost like questions being asked or comments being made. And he said it freaked him out. And I wish he still had that tape. But unfortunately, he doesn't. So I'm sure I'm forgetting a lot of things. I wasn't sure how long I was going to have to talk. I don't know how long I have been speaking. I don't know if there's anyone has any questions or if you have questions for me.
Well, The EVP thing, as you know, I mean that's something that we've done here, and they seem to be coming in a lot more than they used to because, and I believe that's because I've said this before, I believe it's the veil separating the two worlds between the living and the dead, and this is why we're getting more contact with the other side. And I don't know if I mentioned this or not, but the other day, well, not the other day, but a couple of weeks ago, we were just letting the EVP recorder sit in a room, and we actually got a conversation with two entities talking to each other. So it's
that's
you know, it is. I mean, it's like, you know, and nobody was you know, in the in the room or in the, I mean, you know, next to the recorder, nobody was saying anything. And there was definitely nobody outside of the house. So, but we've heard these are the same two that we've heard before, in this house. So it just seems to be more and more of that. So let me see now, you also said you had some, what did you call it? Where you had?
Psychometry.
I think so. Yeah.
Read past lives. I had that
yes.
experience, and that was absolutely fascinating. Because
oh, good.
When my first experience of doing that, I was just simply sitting at the kitchen table, and my dad and I were sitting there, and it was probably raining out or gloomy, and I was, you know, probably in my early 20s. And all of a sudden, I realized that, and I know that this sounds weird, but it happened, and it happened several times. My father actually started to change before my eyes, and I'm not saying literally changing. You know, it wasn't like he was turning into anything. It was this...
Right.
Like a shade over him or something, where his physicality or my image of him, I started to see him as a Roman soldier, and I thought, what the, this is absolutely fascinating. And you know, I'm looking at him, he was not looking at me, but I was, you know, just kind of in a dream, you know, stand the daydreaming, I guess they would call it. And he
right.
changed, and after I went, whoa, what the hell is this, you know? He said, what happened to you? And I said, I just had a very weird experience. I said, have you ever had a fascination or an interest with, like, Julius Caesar age, you know, Roman times? And he said, why do you want to know? And I said, it's because I just watched you change. And I did... I tried to do my twin sister, and I could never do her. But I did my brother, and my brother turned into a World War I soldier. I've done cousins and friends, and other people, and I just asked them afterwards. I said, you know, have you ever had a fascination with you know, old time England? They saw one person as a washwoman, a rag woman, and you know, the smoke and dirt over their face. And they were like, yeah, how did you know that? You know, so it's just there has to be something to it, because I don't see the same image on people all the time.
Right.
And I used to do aura readings, but I think that's very common. You know, I don't particularly enforce that as one of my great gifts. So, but you know, for people who have never had an odd experience and you know, want to believe what I'm saying, these are my experiences.
Right.
And I think that for children, specifically, because I know I was very young. You know, I don't know. My mother would tell us, my sister and I, that when we were very young, we used to have conversations with someone. We had our own language because we're twins. You know, they said now that there's studies out that prove that, you know, twins do have their own language, but she would say it was almost like we were interacting with somebody else. And just, I don't know where else to go with that, but.
Right. All right. Now, being that you are twins, you mentioned that you had like certain connections where you could pick
telepathy?
Up things. Telepathy.
Well, yeah. You know, there's been a few incidences where she would tell you that she would sense that I were in some kind of trouble or something. And and she'd be panicked to wonder, you know, if I was okay, where I was. On a couple instances, you know, I've had the same feelings about her. You know, I don't know if it's so much of a twin thing. I'm sure that maybe people who are really in tune with each other might know or get a sense or intuition that, you know, hey, something's not right, you know. But I know on a couple instances, you know, I had a feeling that, you know, there's something really wrong, and I got to find Linda, and I found out that she was in a car accident with a boyfriend. And then another incident, you know, I knew that that I had to find her. Another negative thing, she had been in a car accident, and she was hurt but okay. You know, there's only a couple of things like that have happened. But on a very, very fascinating incident that we had, we traveled cross country, and we found each other able to have conversation without speaking.
Wow.
And that was fascinating.
Oh,
and,
yes.
You know, explain that. I can't explain that. I'm sure that maybe if there's someone out there who has either a friend or a relative that they're very close with, or maybe a twin, that they might have had a similar experience, you know, they could relate to it. But, you know, and it's like I said before, you know, if people want to be skeptical or whatever, you know, I could say it happens all the time, but it doesn't happen all the time. You know,
right.
I don't make up tales about the experiences that I've had, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I'm open to continue my pursuing of my interest. And there are times when I pray and wish that my powers or whatever gift I have would be stronger or come on. And then they also, you know, you also got to be careful what you wish for.
Yeah,
because
that's true.
Most of my incidences that I've had are negative.
Mm.
You know, dreamed of tragedies, dreamed of accidents. I can give names of specific incidences. There's, you know, a couple of dreams I had, you know, play a number and it came out. Well, that doesn't happen all the time. It happened once in all the years that I've been aware of my ability, you know, happened once. Had a dream, and the person I dreamed of who told me to play the numbers was absolutely alive and still is alive. So, you know, that was just a very weird thing. So I'm always looking for my connections. You know, I don't want to lose my gift. But on the other hand, you know, I would like for it to be just a little bit stronger. But then, like I said, you know, be careful what you wish for.
Yeah. Well, now when you pick things up off of people, do you usually have to be close? I mean, if somebody's walking by, say a total stranger, do you pick like something up from their loved ones or something if they're following them? I mean, how does that work?
No, I like to watch those shows. There's a couple TV shows on now about mediums. And I kind of wish I had that gift. I mean, you know, the one incident I had about the little boy in the family who died tragically, about what the experience that he had with his cousin, you know, about playing the card game and haha, I got you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's about as close as I've gotten. I mean, I have had experiences where I meet someone, and I'm sure everybody's had this experience. You meet someone, and for some reason, you just don't like that person, or you get a negative vibe. But I don't have anything, you know, I don't have anybody whispering a ghost in my ear or anything saying, you know, tell that person I said hi. No, I don't have that. I don't have that gift. It's another thing that I... I think a lot of people can be provided with a great sense of relief by hearing, you know, positive things and knowing, you know, I mean, John Edward was a famous medium, and there's a lot of people on TV now. And whether or not, you know, they're viable, you know, I'm not saying they are or they're not, but I just know that, you know, people hearing words from the other side, it brings a great sense of comfort. And
right.
At times I would almost like to have that ability, but like I said, you got to be careful what you ask for. You know, I think the gift that I've had about warning people and dreaming of, you know, things that have happened, I often wished, you know, that I would have had the dreams in time to warn people, you know.
Right.
They were either happening at the exact time I dreamed them or at a time where I wouldn't know how to contact anybody to warn them, you know.
Right, yeah.
I've had a lot of intuitive kind of things happen, you know, driving down the road, and you know, I even, you know, told my husband a few times, you know, like, watch out, there's, you know, there's something in the road, there's something coming, and you know, 20 seconds later, you know, somebody would be coming at you in the wrong lane, or there'd be a dead animal in the road or something, and you had to, you know, maneuver around it or whatever. But just that, intuition kind of thing. I think there's a lot to be said for that too.
Trust your gut. Yeah.
So.
Well, I've had a few of them myself where, you know, it's either for some reason I didn't start my trip, you know, sooner I would like hesitate for some reason, or something would happen. I couldn't find my keys. And turned out that had I taken off at a certain time, I probably would have been involved in an accident that occurred a few minutes, after I had left. So
absolutely.
Like,
I think a lot of us had probably experienced that. I know myself on several occasions, you know, I wasn't able to keep those car keys in my hand. And it was almost, not feeling like somebody was smacking them out of my hands, but I just couldn't hang on to them. And then coming down the road and coming to an intersection, and if I had been there just 5 seconds earlier, you know, the tractor trailer would have ran into me or something. I think those might be common occurrences. I know my mother's even said that she's experienced those, and a few of my friends, so that might be common. And, you know, along that line, I totally believe in guardian angels.
Yeah.
I believe that mine has worked some overtime. there was one other thing I was just going to mention about an experience. Got sidetracked. I'm sorry. So, do you have any more questions?
Let's see. How about, since it's almost Halloween, it is the month of Halloween. Do you have any stories, places that you know of that you've been to or that are haunted, or stuff like that,
Only my house that I used to live in was definitely haunted. Halloween stories, you know, I tried to... I don't know if provoke is the right word, but I have been out in my barn with a simple light and just trying to get a feeling of someone, you know, to be in contact with. My twin sister had an experience in that barn where it was actually very fascinating. She had an image of a man wearing a dark coat and a dark hat and just being there, being in the barn. And then later that night she had a dream of a man named Jacob and this hat that he had on, and she drew a picture of the hat. And about 3 weeks later, my husband was out in the barn digging, and he pulled out of the ground this hat that was very similar to the hat that my sister had dreamed of. Now, we looked at, the deed of our property, and there was, back in the late 1700s, early 1800s, a man that owned the property. His name was Jacob.
Wow.
You know, coincidence? I don't know. I mean, it's probably a very common name for that time period, you know. But the whole hat and the name thing, you know, was kind of fascinating. But anyway, I was out in the barn trying to connect, and there wasn't, you know, there was, unfortunately, I didn't get anything. So.
Well, yeah, that's
but
the thing.
Halloween
I mean,
is my favorite time of year, you know. You know, it doesn't just have to be Halloween for anyone to experience something of the paranormal realm.
And, oh, no, I know that.
I just want to say, too, a lot of TV shows like to turn the lights off and, you know, see what goes bump in the night and, you know, get their ghosts or whatever. And every ghost I've ever seen was in pure daylight. I remember one time when I was, probably in my early 20s, I woke up one morning and I saw a man standing at the end of my bed, and he had on brown and gold pajamas. And he was just standing at the end of my bed. He had his hands open, you know, like as if to say hi or welcome or whatever. I don't know what the position of that would mean. But not long after, I heard the sirens coming down the road, and the man had died. So, you know, I'm thinking to myself, you know, I don't know why. I didn't even know him in life. He lived down the road. He was a very sick man. I think I probably saw him once. And, you know, I had this image in front of me, and I found, you know, he had died not long after he appeared to me in the bedroom. So.
Yeah, that's like I said. No, as far as that's true, you don't. As a paranormal investigator myself, I found out that you don't. It doesn't necessarily have to be the dead of night. You know, you don't have to sit there from dark and you know dusk until dawn trying to find and make contact with spirits. I mean, they'll. You know, we've gotten good EVPs during the day. We've gotten some. Pictures of anomalies, energy crossing, and it's I mean the TV actually, you know, the stories like the ghost hunters and all those you know, they're, I mean, I'm sure they're getting stuff too, but it's not necessarily, you know, it's not necessarily has to be done at that point, because like I said, the spirits are all around us all the time, and it's just a thin veil that's separating us, and it seems to be opening more and more. So,
yeah. You just reminded me of another experience, and this is the one that I'll mention to my close friends because they know that, yeah, it's like I said before, if you're going to make stuff up, you can make stuff up all the time. And I just remember I was about 16 years old, and in my parents' house, we had three bathrooms. And I went to go, you know, into the one, and it was occupied. So my parents' bedroom, you never walked in their bedroom. You know, it was, you know, a thing of obeyance or whatever. But it was like, you know, I needed to get in there. So I walked through their bedroom, and I walked into their bathroom. And I remember looking in their mirror, because it was right as soon as you opened the door, the mirror was right there on the medicine cabinet. And I remember staring at it going, what the heck am I looking at? And I was actually seeing like an Indian campsite. I could see people walking around. I could see fires burning. I could see teepee kind of houses. I could see corn and things. Just it was very mystifying to me because I actually remember saying, what in the hell am I looking at? And, well, that disappeared before my eyes. Okay. I went downstairs, and I was telling my mother and father what had just happened to me, and they said, well, you know, your my cousin, not my cousin, my mother's cousin, used to do a lot of farming in that area, and he would constantly dig up Indian arrowheads.
Right.
And they said, you know, this very possibly could have been Indian campground or something, and I didn't know that. You know,
right.
I'm thinking, it's pretty wild. So, a fascinating, I just remembered a fascinating experience I had. We were going to Old Orchard Beach, Maine. and we didn't have reservations. And this was in August of probably 1973. And my father worked for a company, and the company shut down for 2 weeks in August, and that's when, you know, he was forced to go on vacation. So, you know, it was, can we afford to go? Can we not afford to go? So, we didn't know whether or not we were going on vacation. So all of a sudden, my father said, you know, let's just go. We'll go to Maine. We'll go up to Old Orchard Beach, stay in this hotel that we always stay in, and see if they have room. So we all got in the car, went, and naturally they were closed. They didn't have any vacancies. So we drove down the Maine coast into Massachusetts, et cetera. And my father saw the sign for Salem, Massachusetts. So we ended up staying in a hotel in Danvers. But as we were trying to get there, we're lost. And we're driving down the road, and my father's going around in circles, and he goes, I don't know how to get on this road, you know, to get over to Danvers. And I was probably 16, 17 at the time, and I just went, for God's sakes, you're going to drive down the road. You're going to take a right at the next road. You're going to see a horse, a man riding a horse. The horse is going to be reared up. And right across from that, you're going to see a house with a bunch of funny-shaped angled roofs. And I said, you're going to go around that. You're going to take a left, and that's how you're going to get to where we need to go. And he said, how do you know that? And I said, just go that way. You know, what have you got to lose? And we went, and I had never been there before in my life. And we drove down the road, and there was the man on the man riding the horse, the house with the funny angled roofs, and it was exactly how I had said it. And my mother and father both turned around and said, how the hell did you know that? And I said, I don't know. I just know. So I do have things written down at home. I wish that I had written down every one of my experiences. I just started to keep a log as things happen, and I just remembered another experience. My sister's actually sitting here with me, reminding me of things. Mm-hmm. We were camping at Crown Point in Ticonderoga, and it was a thing that we would do in the summertime. My aunt and uncle were very much into camping, and it was my mother's sister. And cousins and all of us would go up to Crown Point and go camping. Well, there was the Lake Champlain Bridge was over Lake Ticonderoga, and under and to the left of this bridge from our campsite was a beaten down, destroyed fortress or something. There was, you could see the foundation was still there, rocks, etc. So my aunt, my mom, and the cousins and my sister and I went there, and my brother went over to this place to walk around and just take in, you know, like what it must have been like to be a soldier back then. And there was other people there. It wasn't, you know, just us. It was, you know, it's an open place. And my sister and I were standing there, and we saw men walking around with uniforms on. And we both looked at each other, and we were remarking, how come nobody else is paying attention to these people that are here? They look so cool. They have like, they look like they're carrying like real guns, and their costumes are so perfect. And it was just absolutely incredible. And they would look at us and smile, but nobody ever approached us, you know, and we're just standing there. And, you know, I mean, you know, all these soldiers are walking around, and my mom and my aunt and my two cousins, they're not paying attention at all. And we said, don't you see those people over there? And they're like, there ain't nobody over there. And my sister and I looked, and we said, you don't see them? They're there. They're there. There was probably 20 or 30 of them. They're there. And then, you know, it was like, boof, gone. So it was that was absolutely fascinating. And, you know, I don't really care if people go, you're out of your mind, you didn't see that. I did experience it. Absolutely, 100% did experience it. So it's been fun.
Yeah.
So
no, there are times when like I said, that certain things will happen at places like that, like Gettysburg. We was there a few times and did some investigations, and I never walked away without any evidence. I've always gotten something there, but you know, I've known a couple people who said that they actually would see the period time soldiers walking through the fields, and it's like a door opened into the past, and they would see them, and then they would disappear. Just like I remember some there was a oh what the hell was it an elevator going down in one of those historical buildings, I think it was, and all the records down in the basement. I guess in the Civil War time, that particular building was used, the basement part, for like a makeshift hospital for the wounded soldiers, Union soldiers. And I guess when the two when the woman went down to get the some records that she needed to come back upstairs with, when the elevator door opened, it actually opened, and she had seen soldiers laying there
Sure.
on tables and stuff. I mean, it's and
I would never discount anyone's experience that they're recanting,
no.
you know, because based on my own experiences, based on experiences that my niece has had, my sister's had, friends of mine have had, it's just fascinating.
Yeah. So that's I was thinking, like I said, maybe next summer. I was thinking of going, getting everybody together, and getting a place up there, and stay up in Gettysburg, and maybe for a weekend, and just do another investigation with all of us together, the new team here and stuff. And
I
I
think
think
that would be fascinating, and I am totally
yeah
on board for that.
yeah
Patrick,
so
there's one more thing. There's one
okay
more thing I would like to talk about, if I could.
yes please.
And it's more of, I don't want to say a warning, but it's negative experiences. I had a positive experience, and I had a very negative experience. And
Okay.
I've already asked for protection before I start talking about this, because I believe that's important too. But
Yes.
Ouija boards. Ouija boards. Ouija boards are
Oh, yeah.
nothing to really mess around with. And I'll
No,
tell
they're
you
not. Nope.
one positive experience I had, which there was no gain or anything. It was more or less a test. My sister and I were doing the Ouija board, and my mom was in the room too, and I was probably about 25 when we did this. And I had a particular friend that lived out of country, and I had his address, and I knew his address. Nobody else would have any reason to know his address. So
Right.
I wrote this person's address down, and I wrote it down, and I folded it, and I gave it to my mother. And no, it was, no, hang on 1 second. My sister's sitting right here. Was it you and mom doing?
Yes.
Yeah, it was she and my mom doing
Right.
the Ouija board. And so I wrote this down, and I had it on the table, and I put a glass over it so that nobody would open it and read it, whatever.
Right.
So I said, okay, what is, and I named this friend's name, and I said, what is his address? And it immediately spelled his address out.
Huh.
Immediately.
Wow.
And when I opened up the paper and showed my mother, because my sister wasn't too surprised, when I showed my mother, she was like, that's it. That's it. There's really something to this, and I'm not messing with this anymore. And I said, well, and I always had positive experiences. Now, the last
Right.
experience I had with a Ouija board, we had an uncle who was murdered down in Florida, and they caught the people who had murdered him, but they wanted, there was always those questions of what happened to him and where was he and whatever. So my
Right.
cousin and I, we were doing the Ouija board, and we started asking, where, questions. And it started, there was an ashtray in the middle of the table. Now, no one smoked, okay? The ashtray
Right.
wasn't just out of the dishwasher. It wasn't just washed. It wasn't in the sunlight. There was nothing with this ashtray. And it was probably 6 by 6 inches, one of those thick, heavy, old-fashioned glass ashtrays. Well, my cousin and I are doing the Ouija board, and we're asking, questions, and it started spelling out boneyard. Now who talks like that, you know?
Right.
It's spelled out boneyard, and it's spelled out murder, and it's spelled out the death, and just very negative, awful things. And then
right.
my cousin started taunting this thing, and it just kept spelling boneyard. And it was going very fast, B-O-N-E-Y-A-R-D, you know? And I go, Patty, are you pushing this thing? I go, come on, this is ridiculous, right? So all of a sudden it started spelling out boneyard very fast. Well,
mm-hmm.
the ashtray split in half and made such a high-intensity noise, almost like a tuning fork noise, that
right.
we all had to cover our ears.
Wow.
And I thought, that's it. This is definitely related. I am never messing with a Ouija board again.
Mm.
They're not allowed in my house. They're not, nothing. Nothing to do
yeah.
with the Ouija board. That was 23 years ago. 33 years
yeah.
ago. And that's
yeah.
the last time I ever touched a Ouija board. So that's it. So.
Yeah, they're definitely, like I said, they're not something to mess with. I mean, you know, even as a game, they're just we
mm-hmm.
we're definitely against them. So.
Oh yeah. Well, in our EVP sessions that we do, you know, there's always a protection that we ask for, because you ever you open that door, you don't ever want to invite anything negative or evil in.
Exactly. Yep.
And my husband kind of has a joke about something he'd like to invent. And it's, you know, you go to these graveyards and, you know, you do things that are different. And he said, I'm going to invent a ghost vacuum so that you don't bring nothing home with you.
A ghost vacuum. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, it's always good. It's always good to you know, envelop yourself in the white light and ask for protection when you're doing
Definitely.
Any type of stuff like that. I mean,
definitely.
You know, considering that entities are always around us anyway, and you know, when you're actually attempting to contact them, it's always good. Definitely a good procedure to follow. So, because unfortunately there is an awful lot of negativity out there, and entities that I mean, there's the elementals, the things that have never been born yet that are, you know, in different areas, and those are the things that you don't want to contact. So
absolutely,
yeah.
And I, you know, I tell anybody who wants to start opening the door to the interest of this is to always protect yourself and you know, don't open doors.
Right.
That should remain shut.
Yeah.
So, other than questions, you know, that's about it. Other than, you know, talking about specific dreams that I had and things, but I don't think that's necessary. I think I probably talked enough.
Yeah, well, no, it's been very interesting. Like I said, unfortunately, we didn't have any callers, but I'm sure that we've got people tuning in. And it was very fascinating, and I'm very happy that you shared some of your experiences with us and told us about your abilities. And, you know, we look forward to having you again on our show. It's been wonderful.
I would look forward to that, and I hope that the next time I'm a guest on your show, that I might have some new and unique experiences to talk about, or something that can be verified. So I appreciate the fact that you took time to talk with me and that you invited me to be on your show. I appreciate it very much. I love talking about my experiences.
Well, we love hearing them too. So
okay.
We appreciate it very much, and thank you again for being on.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk to you soon.
Okay. I look forward to
All
right.
that. All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Good night.
Yep, thank you. Good night.
Okay, bye.
Okay. And that was Laura. She was very fascinating things that she talked about tonight. Her abilities, her the fact that she can see things, the precognitive dreams, the telepathy between her and her sister, twin sister. I mean, it's just it's an amazing situation there. It's a, you know, these things exist, and I know as a lot of people do believe them, there are a lot of skeptics out there too. But you know, until you've actually been contacted by someone who has these abilities and has told you something that, you know, that only you would know, it's fascinating. So again, we thank her for being on our show, and our call-in number is 914-205-5355, 914-205-5355. If anyone has any stories that they would like to share on the show, we'll be back in about 10 minutes, so we're going to take a little break here. Please feel free to contact us, and just hold on. If the phone rings, just keep ringing, and when our break ends, I will pick it up. So again, 914-205-5355. My name is Patrick, and you are listening to PSINYS Paranormal Talk Radio Show. We'll be back. Hello, we're back. PSINYS, Paranormal Talk Radio Show. Call-in number 914-205-5355 in case you want to call in. Do you have any paranormal stories to share with us? Please feel free to do so. We'll be on for another 15, 20 minutes or so. Very, very good show tonight that we had with our guest Laura. It was very, very opening, enlightening, and informative. And I hope that those who are listening, understood some of it and appreciated some of the abilities and stories that she shared with us. Some of her experiences. I mean, it's just fascinating. And like I said, we as the paranormal team, we always have psychics on our team because we believe that it not only proves, it not only helps in our investigations, but it also proves the reliability and of the psychic who is working with us, or psychics, depending on how, we're fortunate enough to have at least five on our team at this point, three of whom are mainly active with us, and one is kind of here but not here right now with us. He's far away. His living situation, unfortunately, has kept him away from our meetings and our group here for a while. But we hope that that'll change soon, because he was a very good psychic. Reggie Glidden was his name, and or is his name now? I talk like he's gone. He's still with us. He's still amongst the living, and he's very, very, very good. And Lorena Miller, who was on a couple of weeks ago, another one of our psychics who's with us here, excellent. And the two of them together, it was just, I mean, it was unbeatable. The percentage rating on what they had come up with for every investigation we'd done was 100% accurate. Again, it proves, it makes it to us, it proves that there is a scientific aspect and a scientific a point to this, because of their accuracy and going into a place not knowing. I always go in and get the report, me or my partner. We know ahead of time what's going to happen. They don't. We know who's there. We know what the family or person is experiencing. The psychics don't. So when they come in there, they're totally pretty much blind, and they can point out things, and we go back to our list and we see that they're right. And that just gives us, a lot of help and a great value to our group. And also proves their validity, and that's what we mark these down, we keep records of them, and we're proving the scientific aspect of that as well. So again, call in number is 914-205-5355. And I was mentioning at the end of the show here, the end of our conversation with our guest, that we're going to make a plan to get together at some point next year, 2016, probably spring or summer, to go to Gettysburg and do an investigation, afternoon into the dusk hours. We're not going to be there all night in the field, obviously. We would have to get permission and stuff to stay overnight. And as I said, we don't necessarily have to do that, because if we're going to pick something up, they're there, believe me. And that is the most active area, Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, during, was the most active area during the Civil War there, when the final battle came about in that town place. We're going to probably be posting that on our website when we get everything worked out, the details and stuff. We'll be asking people to come with us as well for an investigation. We'll try to get at least 12. You have to provide your own transportation, of course. We're going to be charging for that investigation for the trip, we will at that point be able to give you equipment that we have, and those of you who know how to do paranormal investigations, that's a plus. To those of you who don't, we'll be teaching you hands-on in the most active anomalous spot pretty much in the world, which will be Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. So when we work out the details, we'll also announce it here, but it'll be announced on our website. Our website is www.psinys.com, and if you go there, you'll find a wealth of information about us. You'll find on the front page now some of our recent, at least four of our recent shows, and we'll be posting this one up there too, that we've done with Lorena Miller, Claudia Cunningham, Lori Berkeley, and myself with a thing about EVPs. So you definitely want to take a look at our website. Again, we do investigations. We try not to do any type of investigations where there's any type of negative entities. I do have a person, a group that I'm still in contact with that I usually give to him because he's more, we just try to stay away from that. A lot of times, though, you may think you have something that's demonic or evil, and it just might be a spirit trying to make themselves known. So we check into this, before, because we know that the people that contact us don't always know that, what they're dealing with. But if it comes out that it's something negative or demonic, we turn it over to another team that's very good at handling those situations. I just personally try to stay away from that, as my team does as well. The Ouija board, definitely a no-no. We definitely stay away from there. For the most part, these entities, are loved ones that have passed, or people that, have passed and are still here, or have moved on but yet come back for whatever reason, every now and then, just to experience possibly they lived here, a house that they've lived on, land that they've lived on, stuff like that. And they come and go. And for the most part, they're not evil. If you hear some noises and stuff sometimes, or things happen to just these shadows at the corner of your eye, 9 times out of 10, it's either a loved one who has passed just trying to make contact with you or watching out for you, or it's other spirits who have been on the land, have been here, things like that. They just want to basically make themselves known, or a lot of times they're not making themselves known, but you just happen to see them. And as I said, the more as time goes on, the thinner the veil seems to be getting between here and there, between life and the afterlife. So it's very interesting, and we're pretty much on the verge of making the anomalous activity a scientific reality. And this, of course, it comes with also the help of quantum physics and quantum mechanics. That has a lot to do with it. You know, the other dimensions, with the vibrational frequencies, with the whole creation part, the God particle, which we found. When you're able to make a Big Bang yourself in a laboratory setting, this is just a fascinating field of science that has been opened up to us in the past several years. And just as the satellite, Kepler satellite there that has discovered Earth-like planets in our own backyard. So, this is just, the skeptical people need to have an open mind because, you just can't, we're just not the only ones here. We're unique, but we're not that unique. There are other life forms out there, other planets that have life on it. These things are coming to light. I could talk all night about this, but unfortunately, the time, the show, this and that, we don't have a lot of time. 2 hours kind of goes fast. Especially with guests like Lori here, that was just, that was great. Very, very fascinating. We'll take one more short break and see who decides to call in. Call in number 914-205-5355. Feel free to call in. We still have a little time left if you want to talk about some of your experiences or things that have happened to you. Hello, we're back. I'm Patrick, host of the PSINYS Paranormal Talk Radio Show. And call in number is 914-205-5355 in case anyone wants to call in. We still have a few minutes left. I would like to just again talk about our website and what we do, PSINYS.com. You go there, you'll see on the front page, it'll tell you a bit about who we are, and you'll be able to hear some of the shows that are on Blog Talk that we have posted some of the recent shows to our website, the first page. You'll also see a link to our Facebook and Twitter account. So you click on that, give us a like. Same with Twitter. And we post a lot of stuff on our Facebook page as well as Twitter. So we'll be happy to have you take a look at that. And investigations. I can't stress this enough. We do anomalous investigations, paranormal activity, and stuff like that. Yep. And if you need an investigation or want an investigator or have any questions about what's going on, you go to our contact page, give us your name, brief description of what's going on, a way to contact you, hit send, and we will. We will answer you within 24 to 48 hours, when we get it, and see if we can help you there. Nine times out of 10, we can. Also, UFOs. I again can't stress that enough. If you've had any type of unidentified flying object experience or encounter, if you've had missing time, if you've had an alien abduction, if you recall anything that strange that's happened, any missing time, please contact us. Same thing, contact page. Tell us what, brief description of what's going on, way to contact you, and we will jump right on it. Like I said, the UFO investigations is one of my favorites. I've done many in the past 20 or so years. We have a lot of evidence, a lot of forms, a particular form that we fill out. We go through detail to detail, kind of like the form that was used back in Project Blue Book when the Air Force was investigating UFOs. Except we don't try to make up stories, we try to prove that you have seen them. And that your encounter was real. So, we do our best to prove that. And with the advent of cell phones and cameras and stuff, that pretty much people now they can photograph stuff in real time, and it's very hard for UFOs to keep out of sight now. So, yeah, we have a lot of the evidence as well of that also. So anyway, that's who we are, what we do, and again, you have any type of experiences, whether it's paranormal, anomalous activity, or UFO alien encounters, you go to our website, www.psinys.com, contact us. We'll be more than happy to investigate. All right. Well, we had a, like I said, a wonderful guest tonight. She was very enlightening, and we discussed a lot of her experiences, her abilities. We've delved into some of her own personal experiences, and I hope that you all enjoyed that. And please feel free to comment again on the show, or like us on Facebook. We've got a lot of likes so far. We're also being now spread out. Our show is being spread out on three different networks. So it's not only Blog Talk, it's a Skechers podcast, speaker radio podcast. We're also on there. We're on YouTube. And soon we're going to be on the iHeart radio site. You'll be able to hear our podcast there. So we're getting there. We're spreading out. We've got a lot of people out there who liked us so far, and we thank you for listening, and we always appreciate it. So we will be doing a ghost a story series of stories probably just before Halloween or Halloween. That we're going to try to put together here of hauntings and different things like that. And we'll be airing that. We'll also have more guests and recurring guests if we as time goes on. But again, we hope you like tonight's show. We thank you for listening. And we hope that you'll continue to tune in, continue to look at our website, continue to look at our Facebook ups and like us, and also and continue to follow us on Twitter, which you'll find all the connections right there on our website, www.psinys.com. And for PSINYS Paranormal Talk Radio Show, I'm your host, Patrick, and I'm going to say good night. Thank you for joining us.